All right. Oh, you gonna sing? Doggone it. Oh, man. Yep. One of these days, the Lord's gonna be so strong on her, convict her heart, so she's gonna come up here and say, Donna, I got to sing today. Don't look at me like that, because he can do it. I am. All right. Well, let's turn to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8. Well, here in Amos chapter 8 is speaking to us. It is speaking to not only to just us, but I believe it also speaks to the farmers also. Because we know that, I think I mentioned it this morning, talking about the harvest. And the harvest of the summer fruit. We have been through the part of one of this year, since January. And we have been through spring, which that brought about the getting the fields ready, getting our hearts ready, and to where we can go out here and be the ones that can harvest and what we've planted through the year. And no doubt when we go out and when we sow that seed, and when we do it, we pray that it will germinate and it will touch the individual's heart. The other day that I had to go to the doctor and had to have that light and everything run down my throat and everything, all that. But before they started that, it was a nurse in there, and she looked for me. And I didn't catch her name at first when she first come in there, but when she took me back in the back, in the holding room, I asked her what her name was again, and she told me. I said, I knew you was familiar to me. And I says, don't you have a daughter? And her husband's a preacher? She says, yes. I says, could you tell me their name? And his name, the preacher's name, was Chris McGee. Some of you probably know him. And I says, his wife is named Lucy. She says, yes, that's my daughter. I says, you know, she was real special to me when her and Chris both started coming to church over there. And it just seemed like that she always had a smile on her face. And she hadn't been long been saved. And she didn't hide it from nobody. And Chris, he don't hide it from nobody either. And I said, and I told her, I said, you know, I was preaching at a fellowship in town, right across the line in North Carolina. And it was on a Saturday, I believe it was a Saturday night. And I went to hear some good preaching. And then they called me and asked me to come up and preach. Well, I went up out and I preached on the authority of the church. And I preached on what the role is of the church and how to get the church going and getting it established and everything if we start a new work. Now, I says, now, I want you to remember when I mention the word church, I'm not speaking of this building. I'm speaking of the individual. And we have other individuals out here today that's lost. Now, we need to go out there and do what we can to win them to the Lord so they can become a church. And we need to teach them the way the church needs to act in church, in fellowship, and we need to also teach them in what they, the way they act outside of the worship services that we have. That they have to act a certain way, and you don't have to practice that. I don't believe that no one has to practice that. And living the life that Jesus wants them to live. Because I believe this, that once an individual is born again, washed in the blood, and is in the fellowship with God's people, they're going to know exactly what they need to do. I don't need to tell them what they need to do. You should not have to tell them what they need to do, because we have the Word of God, and we need to give them, make sure that they got the same Bible that we are used to ourselves and what we preach from. We don't need to allow them to go out and to purchase their own Bible, because once they go to the bookstore, once they go to the Christian bookstore in the mall, or once they go to the religious bookstore downtown, and when they get in now, naturally they're going to see books, and they're going to see Bibles, and they're going to be overwhelmed of all the different type of Bibles. Now, you would think, as an individual, whether they just got saved and they're going to a Christian bookstore to get them a Bible, you would think the individuals that was there that would help them. They would help them. But they would help them in a way to where they will get them a Bible where they can understand it. A new convert that has just been saved, they're not going to know the same things that we know.
that where we've been saved for years, and we know what the scripture says about this and that.
So they're going, so the salesman there in the bookstore is going to naturally give them a Bible where the words are not all that hard for them to pronounce. See, this is something that we should not have to be able just to read it.
And once we read it, we can understand what it says. Because it's something right here comes from God. The King James Version, the King James Bible, the 1611, and this is not a 1611, but it's the closest thing to the new, the 1611. It's got some words changed. The words are spelt a little different. But this right here is the closest thing to the original manuscript that God placed there in heaven, never to be open again until he calls us home. Closest thing to it. People say, well, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Well, that's just like going to school. You go to school, you're in upper grade, you're in high school there, and naturally when you're in high school, what do? You change classes. You got science, you got a biology, you got math, you got reading class, you got all of these different classes. Now, if I go to an English class, that English class is supposed to teach me something and help me with the day-to-day English. It's supposed to help me to be able to read the book that I'm reading and to get something out of it and to remember what I've read. But I go there and I'm expecting to take you up there to teach me something about biology. Teach me how to go and dissect a frog and all of that. I'd be disappointed, wouldn't I? That's the way people are. People think that they can come to the King James Bible and when they get in and read it, that they're supposed to understand it. And when they don't understand it, they get frustrated. They don't understand why. They don't understand. Say, well, God, why did you allow Jesus Christ to go to Calvary? Why did you allow him to go and hang on that cruel cross and to die and be put in a borrowed tomb there? And he'll raise again on the third day. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for the people. Why did you allow that, all of that to happen when I can get in the Word of God and I can read it and I don't understand it? That's what he speaks about when Peter, talking about the milk, talking about the sincere milk. We just need to just to nibble a little bit. We just need to nibble on the Word of God. And as we nibble on it, we won't be all that in hype and trying to get everything we can out of the verse that we just read. Because there for a long time, I was having a problem with that. Because I would read and I'd read and I'd read. And sometimes I get so frustrated. I get by myself and I say, Lord, why do you allow me to read and I don't understand it?
You know what he come by? He come back and told me. He says, what you read, if you're not going through it, if you're not about ready to go through it, or if you haven't been through it, you don't need it. You don't need it right then. You need something else that's a little stronger. The way you can build your faith up a little stronger than what it is. That you can build up your love for the people a little stronger. That's what you need. But when you get to that point in your life that you're about ready to face a problem, then God's going to lead you back to the verses. God's going to lead you right straight to that book to where it's got them verses in it that would help you. That would help you to face the problem. It's not a problem. It's not a situation that will not arise and has not risen. The answer is not in this Bible. And we know we don't have all of the Bible. We have just what he wants us to have. Every question we come up with, it's there. The answer is right there. But
going back to the Word of God, we can look at that word patience. We don't have enough patience. We don't have enough stamina to just to wait. To wait on the Lord. Just like over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. The latter part of it, where it speaks about that during the end of the service, the ministry that has already been preached, then after when the invitation is given, we come to the front. We need to always remember that here, the front pews are always empty. Always empty. They're always open. If you don't have nothing in particular to pray for, I can give you something to pray for. You can pray for me. Because I need your prayer. We need to always be willing to come to the altar. And when we come to the altar, and when we go to the Lord and when we shed that tear for the individual that we're praying for, or shed the tear for the church, we just need to wait there and let the tears continue to run. And we need to continue to thank. And then the Lord will speak to us. And when the Lord speaks to us, then that's when we can get up. And we can go and do what he's asked us to do. Because he will give us something to do if we come to the altar that way. He will give us something to do. Because see, he don't want you to sit around here. He don't want you just to come here and just be a pew warmer. He don't want me just to come here and just preach something simple. He wants me to come here and allow him to use me. He's allowing you to come, not to just to be a pew warmer, but to get something from the message. If it's nothing but one little small nugget that can help you to go out and to maybe speak to someone. Or maybe pray for that individual that you last week you thought of, but you never had an opportunity to pray for. We always have got a little nugget there and a message. It's always a little nugget there that we can take and we can grasp a hold to. That little nugget. And when we grasp a hold to that nugget, and we take it in, we're at home with that little nugget, and when we pray for it, that nugget gets bigger. And it gets bigger. And it gets bigger. It increases in size. You know what that does? You know what that does to me? That I can get in there and I can start praying, but probably the first 15 or 20 minutes that I'm praying about this and that and everything else. But then, that nugget is there. Then he'll break open that nugget. And that nugget will break my heart. And then that's when I'll get down to business. I'll start praying. And I'll start asking God to touch these people. And I'll call them out by name. I think that's the worst thing that we can do, is not call the people's names out. God wants us to reveal to Him that we know Him. When we go and we say, well, Lord, you know so and so, you know, I've spoke to them and we've done all we can to try to get them in church. But see, when I go to them like that, they are really not a concern to me all that much. But when I go to the Lord, I say, Lord, Sister Kelly and Brother Johnny, they've added a new child to their family. Lord, help them. They need the help. I know they probably think that what they're doing is right. But be with them and let them know that they are doing some things right. And He would love for them to get in church. He would love for them to get in church and raise that child up in church. That's the reason we don't have no young preachers anymore. Why? Because the parents don't want to get the children in church. And God has to have people. God needs us. We don't need God. I don't need, really, basically. God really don't need me. But I sure am thankful that He wants to use me. I sure am thankful that I'm available. And I'm not available just to be for people to look at me and say, well, oh, he's a so-called, he's an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. He preaches from a King James book. And he even calls it the original version, the 1611. But you know what? Says he ain't got many people down to church. It doesn't make no difference about the people and how many we have. It's the quality of the people. Not the quantity, but the quality. And I believe I can honestly say, and I don't believe the Lord would deny me this, that each and every one of you that is here tonight, and Sister Nancy that's not here, I know her heart. I believe that each and every one of you want the same thing that the Father there in heaven does. He wants to see this fellowship grow. And how will it grow? New souls. We can probably get some other people to come in, but what we're doing, we're getting somebody else's leftovers. We get some of their disgruntled people, and where they'll come in and we don't know anything about them, and they'll come in and they'll start being friends with somebody. Start this, and the next thing you know, say, did you know what the preacher done? Have you heard what the preacher's done? Have you heard this? Have you heard what the deacon said? Have you heard this? And they're trying to get stuff stirred up. We don't need to get stuff stirred up. If we're going to get stirred up, our souls need to be stirred up. It needs to be stirred up for the Lord. It don't need to be stirred up because of gossip, because somebody else is talking about us. I don't even like to use the word gossip. I think a Christian, as far as a Christian is concerned, we should not use the word or even think about the word gossip. Anytime that we think of that word, we should be thinking about something else. We should be thinking about spreading the gospel than spreading gossip. That 9 times out of 10, or sometimes 10 out of 10, it's nothing to it. It's just where somebody wants to start problems. That's what the devil wanted to do. He was trying to stir up problems. Even the men there where the widow, when she went to the well, the men that she'd been sleeping with and everything, they was trying to stir up problems. What did the Lord tell us? The Lord tells us in the scripture, says, woman, if you take of this water, you'll never thirst again. And she says, how do you know me? I even know the man that you've been sleeping with. I even know each and every one of the husbands that you've had. But I'm not concerned about them right now. I'm concerned about you. I want you to take of this water that I give you. Not that you draw from the well, but what I've drawn from the well. And you take of this water, and you'll never thirst again. You know, that's the only kind of water that will ever quench our thirst. It's the water that He freely gives us. The harvest is going to be soon. You're going to start seeing more and more farmers, I hear. Going to the field. They're going to have the trailers. They're going to have the boxes. They're going to be out there
picking the corn, picking the tomatoes, and all the vegetables they can. Why? Because it's ready. They don't want it to sit there and rot. Summer is about ready to end. Summer's not going to be here long. And the harvest is ready for us. And thinking about that harvest. Oh man. That harvest that we're going to be a part of. Hallelujah. We're going to get up out of heaven. The Lord Jesus is going to look at us and says, I appreciate the harvest that you brought me. I sure am glad that you didn't leave the harvest out there to rot. To rot away. To where it cannot be no good to me. Where it could not be no good to the family. I'm thankful that you went out there and you've done your very best to try to gather up the harvest. The harvest is white. And I don't believe the harvest has ever been as ripe as it is today. Because we see on every hand where people are hurting. They don't know what to do anymore. But they... they know that their harvest is about ready. And they're not going to have nothing there to eat. They ain't going to have nothing to put on their plate. Why? Because I wouldn't go right there. Because I wouldn't go and in the places where they may be at and tell them about a love that no man ever knew until he went to the cross. I need to go out there and tell them, because the thing about it is, if I go out there and tell them, the Lord is going to always bring it up to them. The Lord's going to always bring up in what I spoke or what you spoke to them about. See, the Lord don't never, and the Father and the Holy Spirit don't never let them go. He always speaks to them. He's always begging them. But he will not drag them. But he's begging them. He's begging us to go out there into the harvest. He's begging us to go out there and pluck some of the ripe fruit. The fruit out there is ripe. Unless we go out there pull the fruit. That fruit just going to stay right there on the vine. On the tree. Then if it ever gets to a certain point that it gets too ripe, it falls off. And when it falls off, it hits the ground. A whole lot of it will bust open. Then when it busts open, what happens? The flies starts eating away at it. The maggots start eating away at it. Sin is eating away at their soul. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell because of me.
You know, it's going to be a sad day. Day in heaven. Really is. It's going to be a sad, it's going to be a glorious day also. But it's going to be a sad day. Because I'm going to shed some tears. The Bible tells me I am. But the tears that I'm going to be shedding there is going to be the tears of me putting both of my hands forth and watching on the tips of my finger the blood of people dripping off. And I believe in when we're standing, when I'm standing there and I'm watching the blood rip from my fingertips. As soon as it leaves my finger, He's revealed unto me their name. Revealed unto me where they lived. Revealed unto me when He spoke to me about going and speaking to them. But I wouldn't do it. Because I had something else planned. We should not have any plans at all that would ever go above us going out and telling people about Jesus. I know we have to work. I understand all of that. I know people have to work today. I understand it. But you know, people come up with an excuse that they can't go and share the gospel. Work. People using that today as an excuse. Because see, God's not going to allow anything to happen to us as long as we're spreading His gospel.
A whole lot of times
when something does happen to a Christian, and they're in the church, and they're in a workplace, and they're spreading the gospel, inviting people to church and everything. When something does happen to them, they may lose their job or whatever. We need to look at it as they are not living the life that God is pleased with. Yes, they're sharing the gospel. But when the individual that they're sharing it with, what do they see in their life? Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. And now, God, we ask that You would just be with us. Lead, guide, and direct us. And Father, go with us this week into the highway and the hedges. And Father, help us, Lord, that we may use all the instruments that You've given us to get in touch with people. Yes, Father, we can get in touch with people by the telephone, the home phone. We can even get in touch with people that when we're out shopping or whatever, and if You lay someone on the hearts, we can just take our cell phone and call them, Father. And now, Lord, I just ask that You would just help me. And I need Thy help to help me. That I will live for You better this week than I did this past week. And Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus. We just thank You for what You've done for us. You mean so much to me. I don't ever want to do anything at all where I will hurt you, Father, and to hurt your son. I love you so much. I love these people, Father. I love this sweet, sweet fellowship, Lord, that you have allowed us to be a part of. The Faith Baptist Church, Father. And Lord, would you please speak to people's hearts, Father. I just need some kind of encouragement. We all do, Father. We need to see some kind of encouragement from the people that we've talked to, that yet the Holy Spirit will be so strong on them this week that they can't wait until Sunday. Father, they will come on out Wednesday evening. And Lord, if it's anyone wants to talk to me, I pray, Father, that you will just allow them to give me a call, Father, and I'll go to them and I'll talk to them. But Father, I know that you have the answer. I don't have the answers, but you do. And we can search out the scripture together as individuals, Father, and what they want to know. Lord, we thank you. And we love you for what you're going to do this week. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, you dismissed.